beautiful Football Wednesday here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, and we are joined right now by a regular on this show. He's covered the Browns and Cleveland sports for a long time, does an amazing job of that. For the Associated Press, he is Tom Withers. How you doing, man?
Good. I did not win the kicking job, so I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, you probably could have had a shot at it. It was kind of wide open. Yeah. What's your take, knowing you covered pretty much the whole time Phil Dawson was here? The fan reaction is primarily, if it's not Dawson, they don't care who it is, they don't like it.
It's not good enough.
It's not good enough. But it's Billy Cundiff, who has had at least 5-game history here, history in the AFC North, been to a Pro Bowl, but has come upon some rough times in his last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to sign one guy, it should be the one who filled in for Phil Dawson for 5 games, right, during that 14-year run he had. So, yeah, I think there's a comfort factor with him, Vic. I think, you know, Cundiff obviously has a proven track record in the league. Today, the AFC miss in 2012 was brought up very early in the little scrum we had with him, which was kind of interesting, but he handled it very well. He talked about it being a learning experience, and things didn't go particularly well, but, you know, he's been very grateful that he got kind of a second start with the Browns even back in 2009, and he did a very serviceable job here. So, I'm not as alarmed by it as I think a lot of people are, that, okay, there's only 4 days to go or whatever before the opener and they don't have a kicker signed. I think, you know, you got a guy in place that, you know, you've seen what he can do, and I don't think it's that big a deal.
I agree. That's the one position that I think you can come in and contribute right away. Just kick the ball through the uprights, Billy, and everything will be just fine. You're out there, I know, at practice. Saw your tweets earlier today about Barkevious Mingo. What can you tell us from being able to see him with your own eyes?
You know, they're in full pads today, which is, you know, very rare now to see an NFL team in full pads on the practice field, isn't it?
It is. He, you know, in training camp.
Right. He did positional drills, did not do any contact whatsoever. So while the Browns linebackers were hitting the blocking sled, Barkevious stood to the side. He also didn't participate in anything that really required any contact at all, did his own kind of sprinting and his own conditioning work. So, you know, I'm not really expecting him to play this week. I'll be honest with you guys. I think it would be smarter to take a cautious approach, obviously. So I don't think we're going to see him this week, but I would imagine we'll see him in week 2 or 3.
As we listen to Rob Jedzinski address the media today, and we're going to get into some of that sound a little later in the show, but right off the bat, you know, setting this tone of excitement for this home opener, and I know it, and it was your question to the extent of asking the importance of the game, and he gave the standard, it's the biggest, the most important game of this week. Okay,
right.
And that is how he has to approach it. But, Tom, we all know what is riding on this thing. The magnitude of this thing is beyond, I think it's what is on it is not just a team's season that, and yeah, you can recover from it. As he pointed out, you can win 13 games after you lose your opener. But the weight of all those previous years, the weight of losing 13 of the previous 14 openers, all of the last 8, and his chance to become the first year head coach to win an opener.
That's a positive.
All of those things, though, make it far more important than just saying it's the biggest game of the
week. Let's be honest. With every team, the season opener does have much more importance. I don't care what sport you're playing, whether it's opening day at Progressive Field or at Quicken Loans Arena or at First Energy Stadium. It is a big game. It's a momentous game in so many reasons, as you're just mentioning, Vic, and especially for a new coach and a new regime, and just to create some positive energy and some positive momentum going forward. Yeah, it's absolutely a huge game.
It is a big game, and it will be a game that we'll see a Cleveland Browns team trot out 13 rookies amongst their 53-man roster. Have you seen anything like that in your time covering the Browns?
Not since 1999, I don't think. This is really dramatic, and with 9 undrafted players as well. So I wasn't exactly sure, you guys, how, you know, what to make of that when this roster overhaul continued right through the weekend and up until Labor Day. You know, in some ways, it's almost a declaration that, hey, we've got a long way to go, but it's also a sign that, hey, we're looking for guys. And, you know, if we see talent out there, we're going to go get it. And if we're not satisfied with what we have on the field, we're going to change things. So I do like that assertiveness and that aggressiveness.
It sets an agenda.
Absolutely.
It reaffirms that, you know, everything is still a work in progress, that they don't have any level of satisfaction. And it was a clear reminder that this team sees what it's building as something that is still in its early stages, and that whatever was put in place before, and I shouldn't say whatever, but
right.
a good portion of what was put in place before was not good enough.
You're exactly right, and you know, it's time to change. And the one thing that did stand up to me, out to me, though, you guys, was that only four wide receivers on the roster at this point. That, to me, was alarming, particularly when you're going to be missing as important a piece as you are for the first 2 weeks right. in Josh Gordon.
Yes, I would. We would have echoed that sentiment on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Tom, what are the three keys for the Browns to win on the opening day against the Miami Dolphins as you see it?
Well, number one to me would be get Trent Richardson involved early and involved often, and I think that's exactly what we're going to see. I mean, we've talked a lot about this North Turner offense and what it's going to do in terms of a vertical passing game, but I think the best pass that you can make on any down is to turn around and hand the ball off to number 33 and watch him go. So to me, that's number one in importance. Number two would be putting pressure on Tannehill, and I think we're going to probably see that unveiled this week more than we did in the preseason, which is this Ray Horton defense going after people.
It.
And then thirdly to me is keeping an eye on that speedy Mr. Wallace, and that's going to be Joe Hayden's assignment, but I'm still a little bit worried about what's going to happen at the other cornerback position, and I think there's still some issues to be worked out there. So to me, those would be the three key right off the top of my head.
Yeah, that came up with Coach Chudzinski today,
yeah.
The idea that they have also, you talked about wide receiver being a position that they didn't extend themselves. They didn't extend themselves much at corner at all, and they are putting this in the hands of Chris Owens and Buster Skrine and Leon McFadden and see what happens. And Leon McFadden obviously seems the least ready, we think, to handle this challenge. But, boy, I thought Chud was pretty quick and sounded in the affirmative that they're okay with Chris Owens handling things.
Yeah, they seem to be fine, you know, with what's going on there. And I think also that's, again, to be putting a premium on getting to the quarterback, making him rush those throws. Don't put that other cornerback out on an island where he can be exposed.
Yeah, and Joe Hayden's done a good job, 77 yards allowed to Mike Wallace in his last three meetings with him, so that's good. I think Skrine can handle Gibson inside on the slot. The matchup to me, and that is the least proven and the one that I'm watching the most, is Hartline, who had over 1,000 yards last year against Owens on the outside.
Very
I agree.
That
to me is going to be a combination of the pressure that they can generate to help Owens out, as well as how good he does or how well he can do against Hartline. That's a big matchup to watch.
Nice to be talking about week one, though, finally.
It is, right? Real football.
Real football.
Yes.
Real matchup.
Absolutely.
And along those lines, we're going to learn a lot about the Browns' offensive line. This will be, I think when you go through their schedule, certainly the early part of it, this is as daunting potentially
a
defensive line that they're going to deal
with. You're absolutely right. So, we've talked all along that one of the proven strengths of this team is that offensive front. So they are going to be tested right out of the gate. You're right, Vic.
And the readiness, though, with Mitchell Schwartz, for one, we haven't talked a lot about him. It's probably a good thing. It's a good thing when you're
totally
not talking
agree.
About a tackle, but he's a second-year guy, and it's different for him this year. I think that's the thing that has fallen through the cracks is that what all these linemen are being asked to do. I know we had so much distraction, understandably, about the guard injuries, but I think it's that idea that this is a longer developing passing game. These are deeper drops that Brandon Whedon will take. North Turner will be calling plays. That require receivers, that require time to let them get through their routes, so it will be much more vertical. And I think that's going to be a drastic change for Mitchell Schwartz from last year.
You're 100% right. Along those lines, too, Vic, is that it's going to be up to Brandon Whedon then to find himself some extra time, which is going to be either throw it away or, you know, move laterally and find a couple extra seconds when he needs them. So, you know, can you imagine last year? I mean, if things were going really fast for Brandon Whedon as a rookie starter, I'm sure it was the same for Mitchell Schwartz last year.
Right.
Where things are just flying around. You're not used to that speed. I mean, you can practice all you want, but until you're out there in game day and guys are flying around, you have no idea.
And he's going to see a lot of speed in the form of Cameron Wake in the very first game. Let me ask you this, Tom. We haven't talked a lot about it, but I know there was a time when he was battling. Something nagging seemed minor. But we're talking about Jordan Cameron, the tight end. How's he looking? Is he ready to go 100% for week one? Because I think he really is probably going to have to be the number one receiver in this game against
Miami.
You know,
I was keeping an extra eye on him today out there at practice. And he was doing a little bit of work over to the side by himself, which wasn't alarming because he was kind of catching the ball and he seemed to be moving pretty good. But I agree with you. I think he's going to be a big weapon. And in talking to both Jordan and some of the other offensive players, they haven't unveiled everything they're going to do with him as well. And I think, to your point, Vic, is I think we're going to see deeper patterns with the tight end this year than we've seen in the past.
And, you know, another part of this discussion, we started this off by talking about Billy Cundiff kicking. It's the kick coverage that'll be the other thing to look at, because that these days, today, tomorrow, so critical with the work that Chris Tabor and Monday was as well. But I think especially today, tomorrow, Chris Tabor, Sean Menega, those special teams coaches, getting to know who they're putting on these units, because those guys just got in the building like over the weekend.
I'll be honest with you, Vic. I was walking around in the locker room today, and not all the new guys have their nameplates up yet.
Right.
So I had four or five guys pass me in the middle of the locker room, and I was like, wait a minute, who is that guy? Yeah. So you're right. They're still learning, you know, what the strengths are of some of these players as well. You know, I think obviously the weather forecast looks really good, so you have to hope that Billy Cundiff can kick everything into the dog pound when he needs to. And
right. You
don't have to worry about maybe, you know, guys sticking to their assignments as much, because you're right. I mean, these new faces coming in, having to learn new systems and an entirely new program on coverage.
And it's interesting. You know, we talked about the matchups. The first three games are against teams that were top five in the NFL in terms of yards per kick return. So it is going to be important primarily right out of the gate here. And you got Billy Cundiff, a guy who can kick it in there. But I didn't realize this. Last year, the Browns actually led the league in opponents' average starting position after kickoffs at the 19.9 yard line. So this is...
Their coverages were phenomenal.
It's been good the last few years, actually.
Johnson Batamosi, I mean, one of the top gunners in the league. And, you know, Buster Screen's good in that area. I mean, they've got some really good people. All right, Tom, and now they've got some very young people.
Yeah. That's right.
Tom, wonderful, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Great talking to you guys.
He is Tom Withers from the Associated Press, covering the Browns and giving us his knowledge. Next, we're going to take a look at the Thursday night game, tomorrow night's regular season opener in Denver. Andrew Mason from Broncos website is going to join us to talk a little bit about Ravens Broncos right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, ESPN 850 WKNR.